once again to Nerds on the Rocks episode 132. In honor of Star Trek, we're going Bogey where no man has gone before. Joining us this week, our, I guess, TV fanatics, we have Wesley.
If you hate Fun and Joy, and then you hate Scribblenauts Unmasked. But if you do like Scribblenauts Unmasked and you are excited about it as I am, then you do not hate Fun and Joy. You embrace Fun and Joy and give it a hug, because Scribblenauts Unmasked is the greatest thing ever. Ever! Don't hate Fun and Joy!
And also joining us, the future Mick Foley of the podcast, Mr. Trent.
Hi. How are we doing?
We are doing well. I don't even know if you get that reference, but
woo!
I was gonna say, because he's a New York Times bestseller, so
several
times I think. Okay, we're not Ric Flair in here. I always get in trouble whenever we go off on wrestling tangents. Actually, I get in trouble whenever we go off on any tangent because I'm the one who gets all this feedback. So, yeah. Like I said, this week in honor of Star Trek, which ironically we still have not done an actual Star Trek episode. We're getting around to that. We're going to look at TV shows that eventually became films, and I mean, eventually kind of sounds weird because there are three types of movies based off TV shows. There is the continuation, which we'll see with Star Trek. There is the kind of the capper, which is kind of what Serenity is. It puts an end to a series. And then there's the reboot, which is kind of what we see more often. Movies set in Star Trek. Yeah, Star Trek actually covers like all three of them.
Yeah, it
does. It does.
And I mean, I guess it's the best place to start since this is dedicated to Star Trek. But Star Trek, like we said, it's a continuation of the. It's not just a continuation of the original series. It's a continuation of the Next Generation, and I believe it's a continuation of Enterprise. Or what is the final? Is the final movie based off of a different series, or is it just the original series in Next Generation?
The final movie, as in like Nemesis. Like,
yeah.
Or the reboot?
Yeah,
Nemesis, we can dip into the terribleness of Nemesis. That's a whole other conversation. But technically speaking, that does cap off the series. But in my head, it doesn't, because I don't think a lot of the characters from the... If you read the book I just released, you'll realize that I have a terrible opinion of the TNG movies. And I personally am of the belief that the show's continuity kind of ended at the end of the show. I prefer to live in a world where Generations, First Contact, Insurrection, and Nemesis don't exist.
Well, much like the Star Wars prequel, you can't pick and choose what exists and doesn't exist in your world.
Yeah.
Never! He can choose whatever he wants!
But I'm assuming you folks are probably...
Create your own continuity.
I assume you folks are better Trekkies than I am.
I consider myself a Next Generation, because I watched in Next Generation more than anything, and Deep Space Nine I could only catch sparingly,
season of Deep Space Nine was boring as fuck.
and then Voyager I barely caught because we didn't have UPN for like 2 years in my area, so I couldn't watch Voyager until way later, and Enterprise I just never watched. I think I watched maybe one episode of it. Sorry.
Well, I guess I was more curious about the history of, because the first movie came out somewhat 20 years after the series ended or something like that.
I've heard this about Star Trek films themselves I have never actually seen the first Star Trek movie, but I've seen the second Star Trek movie.
Yeah, that's the only one I've seen of the originals, because I believe people say that there's an even odd rule with the
correct.
Star Trek films.
The even films are fine. The odd films, you're going to be in trouble.
That's fair, actually. For the most part. Yeah, even with The Next Generation, actually. Kind of. Yeah.
I saw First Contact in theaters, actually, and I was about 12.
See, I don't mind First Contact. I think First Contact is the least offensive of all of the TNG movies. The only problem is, like, why would you do a Borg movie when you already did The Best of Both Worlds, which is
exactly.
Like amazing, it's an amazing two-parter that just can't be topped. So why would you try?
And it was so awesome because the whole setup of Picard becoming, and for anyone who has not seen Best of Both Worlds,
I am going
to spoil the crap out of it. And I am sorry if you have not watched the show
Best of Both Worlds is awesome.
But I'm going to spoil the crap out of it because it won't ruin your enjoyment of the show because the twists are actually very well built up. But when I first saw Picard become Locutus, was one of those, whoa, holy crap. That was just one of those moments where you just go, damn, that is cool. And then the whole thing was just so well set up. But then you get First Contact, which... I like the Borg, so that's a big part of why I saw First Contact.
It just doesn't make a lot of sense, though.
Exactly.
Like, if you're the Borg and you can go back in time, why would you go back in time to the moment when they first make first contact with an alien species? Why not go back in time to, like, the dawn of man and eradicate everyone? You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Why? Why wouldn't you just, you know, start making your Borg empire back at the dawn of man, and then you could just have... crazy Borg empire, like cyborg dinosaurs or cyborg all this weird crap going on.
I'd be so okay with cyborg dinosaurs. I think we veered off track, Earl. Please change the
I don't even know how, because I want to talk about Star Trek, but we're going to talk about the TV show, which I guess is fair, but I mean, at some point we do want to have a dedicated Star Trek episode.
I know.
Maybe even next week for the movie, if I assume both of you are going to see.
Yeah.
Which I've already seen, and I mean, personally speaking, I enjoyed it, so I don't know how this even outro works with these two. I do think the first one's better, but I think this one's enjoyable in its own right.
Cool.
That's all I'm going to say.
I really do want to see it, so cool. I actually had someone nearly spoil part of the movie for me. I was like, no! You do not spoil Star Trek! No!
Well, you don't spoil anything, but I will say this much, and again, this is slightly spoilery, but... Paramount, the commercials do a job of spoiling it already, and
yeah.
I hate when they do that.
One of the critics, actually, I watched CBS Sunday Morning, and one of the critics said something he should not have said about said movie in his review, and I went, ah.
And this is one of those things. I don't know how movie reviews work because I've never had to do it. I don't know. Because, I mean, I know in video game reviews, a lot of times when you get those, like they tend to give you kind of a guideline of what you can and can't talk about, which makes sense because you don't want to spoil certain beats for people, especially being that reviews go up ahead of time.
Correct.
But with movie reviews, a lot of times it's just kind of a public screening and that the review is there. I don't know if they get a press packet or something, but, you know, sometimes it's hard to say what, like, I haven't seen G.I. Joe. I don't, and this is a spoiler, but this is in reviews. And most people knew it. It's Duke dies.
Yeah.
But a lot of reviews were like reading with that in the first two paragraphs. It's like, it's the death of a major character. So you probably don't want to put it into, it gives you what people tend to say in reviews is like the twists and turns or leave you on the edge of your seats. And that kind of gives you an idea without saying, oh, somebody dies or, you know, like, I remember a lot of the reviews around The Dark Knight came out, and it was like, you know, we didn't expect such a major character to bite the big one. I'm like, okay, that kind of narrows it down, but,
it's not
yeah.
too, I mean, I'm amazed that the Spider-Man twist didn't get, like, totally, I mean, the Iron Man twist didn't get totally, like, uber-spoiled in some reviews, but, in some, like, some critics' reviews, but...
Yeah, I mean, sometimes people know better, and it was fun to watch, and not, you know, but, you know, again, we're kind of veering off topic, so...
not too bad. It's not...
Yeah.
not too terrible. We've done worse.
Yeah, but I mean, like we mentioned, Star Trek has been, you know, it's a continuation. We just talked about the J.J. Abrams films, which is a reboot of the franchise, somewhat, because it's a reboot, but it's a parallel dimension or alternative. So, I mean, it's within the quote-unquote universe of the original series. It's just an alternate timeline. So it's that weird. Like, yeah, it takes place there, but it doesn't take place
there. Yeah, because how Spock says it in that scene of, well, the timeline's changed. It's like, yep. Like, this is a parallel timeline now. I know I'm saying with less grace than Leonard Nimoy, but that was about how they handled it. Just, yep.
Yeah, pretty much.
Alternate timeline.
Speaking of stuff that are kind of a reboot, but also a sequel, Asia, 21 Jump Street.
I heard that wasn't bad.
I actually enjoyed the movie.
Which one are you talking about?
21 Jump Street. You weren't a fan?
Well, no, it's just if it doesn't have an Estevez, if Johnny Depp is not involved.
Have you seen the movie? Oh yeah, you have.
I wasn't really interested.
It seemed
like a dude bro movie, and I just didn't care.
I didn't think it was a dude bro movie. It was kind of more like a buddy cop film, which I know your hatred of. So we went over that the last show. But I was gonna say it's part of a sequel because like Johnny Depp's character and somebody else's character comes back at the end of the film, and it's just a continuation of the original show's premise. But you know the characters from that show have aged up, so it is a sequel in that sense, even though it has none of the original characters in major roles. They do make cameo appearances.
I know Johnny Depp makes a cameo appearance. Do other members of the 21 Jump Street cast actually make cameo appearances?
Well, his partner makes an appearance. They make an appearance together. They're undercover cops.
Oh, cool.
But they're killed off pretty quickly.
Aw.
But yeah, 21 Jump Street is actually, it's a ton of fun, and, you know, they're already working on a sequel. Even though, I gotta say, it's going to be really hard. I mean, granted, I don't think they've aged too much, but Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum aren't exactly teenagers.
No.
They're not even really in their, they're like in their 20s, so. I mean, I guess that's the idea. The whole idea of the program is that these are older people who look like teenagers, but, yeah. And I guess kind of going back to recent histories off the top of my head is the A-Team.
That was fun. That was a fun flick.
Yeah, I liked A-Team.
He's going to pilot the tank. I love that scene. That scene just... I was like, once I heard the words, he's piloting the tank. I'm like, yes! That's cool.
See, I started in Detroit, and I thought it would be a lot cooler. And, I mean, I enjoyed the movie because I watched it recently, just kind of. I think part of it was also that year was just really a big burnout for, you know, we had that award, the Elite Ex-Military Team-Up movie, because we had the Losers, we had the A-Team, we had the Expendables, all within the same, pretty much like within a five-month period. So, you know, like, all of them were doing that over-the-top action stuff, and none of them really stood out. But watching it separately, I enjoyed it. But I did expect them to kind of embrace the cheese and the over-the-topness of the franchise a bit more.
Well, they did have some cool cameos in the credits. That was actually pretty cool.
There's an after-credits sequence?
In the after-credits, they have, like, the couple fun little cameos.
I didn't know there was an... I probably should look into this. I didn't know. And I own the Blu-ray, so...
I thought there... I know there was... Is it before the credits or after credits when they do the...
So, I mean, just as a quick change of pace, let's hear a movie based off of a TV franchise that Trent actually does like.
I like Get Smart.
Yes! Yeah. Oh, Get Smart. I did not know that the Nude Bomb was actually the Get Smart movie until fairly recently, because I was just watching the series on MeTV here, and I was like, really? But I heard Nude Bomb has like very little to do with actual TV series.
I also love Masters of the Universe with Dolph Lundgren.
Yes.
Okay. And there is no way you're serious about that. That just sounds like a terrible movie.
No, it is. It is. Oh, my gosh, Earl. It is just...
I've not seen it, but...
It's awful, awful, awful. And that's why I love it, though. It's to be fair, I also like the show that bridges the gap between He-Man and She-Ra, because it's also awful. But that one is in live action. And watching Dolph Lundgren try and mumble through his lines as He-Man is hilarious. I highly recommend it to all of you.
I think even I have my image.
Earl still won't watch Fantasy Mission Force to this day, so...
I mean, it's sometimes it's just a matter of timing. I mean, we only watch one movie a week.
And killing your liver.
Yeah, we haven't even... this is a tangent, so we'll talk about it later. But
I was just quick.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of getting back to Get Smart real quick. I actually did enjoy that. It sucks that it didn't do well enough for a sequel.
I never did see the Get Smart movie. Is it pretty? Is it not too bad, or is it?
It's enjoyable. I find that, and I mean, it's a typecast, and it's something that I don't think he's ever going to get out of just because he does it so well. But Steve Carell does a great job as a bumbling idiot.
Okay.
He did, you know, Anchorman, he's Brick. The Office, he was Michael Scott. And here, he's Max, I forget his full name. But, yeah, he does well in that role, and... And The Rock's in it too, I believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And The Rock, you know, great actor or not, he's always kind of charming on screen, and he gets to play the douchebag. So the same role he plays in the other guys, really. So yeah, I mean, other recent ones, Miami Vice.
How is that movie? Because I've never seen that film.
I've never seen it either. It's by Michael Mann, I think.
Yeah, I've heard the film is like take all like the kind of 80s oddball charm and just kind of really amp the darkness on overdrive.
I haven't seen it. I've never actually seen Miami Vice the show.
I've seen a little bit of it actually. The show is. It's very much of the 80s. Oh my. So of the 80s.
You know it's one show that I really wish, and I've had this conversation on here before, but they're supposed to do a film version of Samurai Jack to cap off the series, but because the Powerpuff Girls movie did so poorly, they canceled it. So Samurai Jack still has no ending.
Nope. you've heard they're making a film based off the Equalizer TV series. Have you guys ever seen the Equalizer TV series?
No.
Oh boy, I'm gonna be what this island Wesley on this one, but heck, I'm happy to dive into it a little bit. The Equalizer is pretty much was played by Edward Woodward back in the 80s, and he was a former like spy for helped people out in and around New York, and was like a for hire like equalizer. Pretty much you hired him, he dealt with your problem, boom. That's about how the series worked. So they're making, and by the way, the series is a lot of fun and actually still holds. It's of the 80s, but it actually looks like you could still watch it now and kind of get a kick out of it. But the neat thing about that is the movie's being remade, is actually being made based off of that series, and it's going to start Denzel Washington as the Equalizer character. And they're actually preparing a DVD set of it at some point soon. So, yeah, I know most of you guys have never heard of it, but the Equalizer's awesome, and more people should watch Equalizer. So it's a damn good series.
That reminds me, and this is jumping way back, but, you know, for some reason while you were talking, I was reminded of the fact that we're getting a Lone Ranger movie this summer.
Yes, or The Lone Ranger, starring Johnny Depp as Tonto.
Yes, who's playing Captain Jack Sparrow in a cowboy.
That's it!
Why? There are Native American actors out there. Why?
Johnny Steph wants to play Tonto, damn it, and he's gonna play Tonto, damn it.
I was watching it, I'm like, this is just Pirates, this is gonna be Pirates of the Caribbean on end now.
This is the same guy who gave us all the Pirates movies, and screw him, because I don't want to watch this movie.
Steph wants to play Tonto, damn it. That's all. I swear, like, that should be the subtitle of the film, because Johnny Depp wants to play Tonto, damn it. Just
but,
subtitle that.
It reminds me, and this is going back, and this is the only one that counts for this show, but it reminded me of Batman the Movie, which was based off of the Adam West series. It actually kind of got rushed in the production in between the first and second season.
That movie is fun, though. You cannot help but have a little bit of fun with that film anytime you end up watching it.
Oh, only because it's awful. And it is.
No, Batman the Movie's fun. It's goofy, but it's fun. Adam West Batman is fun. Come on. It's the Bat-toosie.
I don't think the Bat-toosie
is so accepting of that. Gosh.
I am accepting of all versions of Batman that exist. As per Paul Dini's episode, he wrote A Brave and the Bold, I am accepting of all versions of Batman that have ever happened before or now. And so no matter how weird, no matter how strange, I accept the Batman for the many incarnations of
him. I loved Adam West Batman. It's a ton of fun. And it has one of the cinema's greatest scenes with the bomb chase. Well, I guess not a bomb chase.
Yes, the bomb chase.
Because he's not chasing a bomb. He has a bomb.
It's awesome. He's like, I got a bomb.
And it's clearly styrofoam. And
but does it matter? Come on. He's carrying a styrofoam bomb with a fake fuse.
It is hilarious, yeah.
It is awesome.
I feel like I'm that way with the Star Wars series, I guess. I mean, I know people like to whine and bitch about the prequel trilogy. I don't mind them terribly. Obviously, I don't think that they're as good as the originals. And I certainly don't mind the Clone Wars or Clone Wars, the animated TV series that was done by the same guy who did Powerpuff Girls. Pretty much any iteration of Star Wars, I'm cool with. But certain franchises, I'm not like that at all. Like, you screw with my franchise and I'll be pissed off. And one of those is, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because Michael Bay is doing it, and he's turning...
I'll allow that.
He's turning... The title is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
We're gonna call a timeout on the field.
I'm gonna say this though really fast. Michael Bay actually has said that they're not gonna be aliens. They are gonna be mutants.
Well, they could be mutants from space.
Earl. Those are aliens.
And moving on.
this is a tangent moment, and I don't.
I've never actually seen a TV show for this, but it's one of the movie franchise for the most part. Mission Impossible.
I've seen a little bit of the TV show. It's pretty good. It's a solid crime and crime procedural action show. It's a solid show.
Yeah, I wouldn't get an. I feel like only the first movie was kind of a spy thriller. Everything else has just kind of been action movies.
I've not seen the other three films of the movie series, but I saw Ghost Protocol because, and you can guess why I watched Ghost Protocol for
the Batman IMAX stuff.
No, actually, because Brad Bird was directing it.
Brad Bird.
Brad Bird, what's up?
What up?
What up, Brad Bird?
I literally had only seen the second movie, and then I heard Ghost Protocol was coming out, and I was like, Brad Bird, hells to the yeah, I'll watch this.
I am watching that.
I didn't know any of the characters. It didn't even matter.
It doesn't matter. It's pretty much just an entire, it's a movie unto itself. It's just Ghost Protocol, Tom Cruise, get out of prison.
Well, it does have some connections to the prior movie, but they pretty much tell you what they are. They beat you over the head with the whole Y subplot.
And then Jeremy Renner's in it, and Simon Pegg's being awesome, and Jeremy Renner's being awesome, and Tom Cruise scales the freaking giant building in Dubai,
which is amazing in IMAX.
And I wish I could have seen it in IMAX, because holy crap, I would have lost my mind, because that is just insane. Tom Cruise is insane.
I would just say this much. I'm sorry that the only movie you've seen other than Ghost Protocol was 2, because I think 2 is the weakest in the series. If you could watch, you should check out any of the other ones.
I like 2.
Then you'll really have the other ones, because 2 is really just weak. I feel like 2 is just kind of all over the place. It's just really action-heavy. It's always weird. I love action movies, but I always complain when they're just. I think action movies, need to be more than just action, and it's always an odd complaint. But I was listening to a podcast the other day. And I think they put it well for me that you need to have some type of situational change from action scene to action scene. Like your characters can't be in the same position they were at the start of the action set piece. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of movies feel like that, and they say do an action scene. Because it would be awesome here, or it's that 7-minute rule where you can't go 7 minutes without something blowing up. tangent, Mission Impossible, fantastic franchise. One that isn't so fantastic, and I've always seen the first one, I haven't seen the second one, which I hear really terrible things about, Charlie's Angel.
I liked the first one for what it was. I didn't think it was... Obviously, you watched it and you're like, this clearly isn't Oscar-worthy, but it was entertaining enough. And then I watched Full Throttle, and I was like, I like the soundtrack. And anytime I walk away from the movie saying to myself, I like the soundtrack, I know it's an awful movie.
You're almost trying to find something, anything to like about the film. When you say, I like the soundtrack... Oh, you are reaching.
Well, I mean, sometimes movies have great soundtracks.
Oh,
and
yeah, I mean...
but, yeah.
Tony Robbins doesn't have a bad soundtrack, I mean...
But, yeah, I've never seen it. I heard really horrible things about it. And like I said, there are limits to the amount of bad movies I will watch, especially if I didn't care...
Ask Bill Murray what he thought about Charlie's Angels. As he pretty much goes, they paid me.
Yeah,
that was his paycheck movie. He will sign that. He will pretty much sign anything you want. Say, is that true? Yep. They paid me, and I said okay.
Hey, there's no shame in it.
Not at all.
Everybody's put a shame.
I don't know. I think at that point in his career, you could take
Murray
whatever
you
wanted.
He
had enough dignity not to come back for the second one.
Yeah, he was like, I got my paycheck for the first movie. I don't need a paycheck bad enough to do the second.
So there's that. This is one that just confuses people now. The Avengers.
I've only seen the review clips for a Nostalgia Critic and so forth of people reviewing that film, but I've never actually watched the full film.
I saw it when The Avengers was coming out.
Oh boy.
I would have missed the one time I was cheap because I knew having something with The Avengers in the title would, get garner hits, but I am sorry for that. It was a really...
Honestly, kids!
It's one of those movies where I always think we always have, and Trent's done this before, we always like to have a spoken word rule in all of our drinking games. Just because I always think that those show like bad screenwritings when you can get something that's repeated ad nauseum throughout a film. And I believe for this one, it was like the character's name. And we drank something like 25 times
Good
for it.
God!
Because how often do you use somebody's name in an actual conversation?
Apparently a lot. I don't know.
Wow! Wow!
Yeah, it was really...
Game's over!
But yeah, it's one of those films that it does nothing.
I just saw the review and the clips of it. And I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah. Have any of you actually seen this show it's based off of? Because that's also ancient.
I've seen a little bit of it. I'm not saying I've seen like whole episodes, but I've seen enough. I've seen a little bit of it, and is it the? I mean, it's not bad. It's a '60s sci. It's a '60s spy show. It's not really shown that often. I will.
No.
You can get it on DVD, but it's not really shown that often on like American TV that much anymore.
It falls into one of those categories, and I think when we do the animated podcast, this is more prevalent. But it's sometimes they resurrect the oddest shows. Like I didn't know they're big enough fan base for people to care. Especially being that like this came out in what, the late 90s, early 2000s, which would have been, what, 30, 40 years after the original run?
It's like, who cares about this film anymore? Nobody. Does anyone really get into the franchise that much? There's a fan base, but I'm not sure if it's enough to support a full film. Let's make a full film, because, like, well, Sean Connery's going to be on? Sure, Sean Connery, why not?
Wait, you're saying it like this is a bad idea.
It's a bad idea. No, it's not a bad idea. Sean Connery wants to make it. It'll make money, right?
Yeah.
Nope. That movie did not make money. Ooh, we did not make money.
And here's one that I haven't seen the TV show for, even though I'm pretty sure that the TV show follows, I mean, the movie follows the same plot as the TV show, so I don't know how that works. The Fugitive. You love the movie. One of my, I know it's my mom's favorite movie, so I've seen it multiple times. She also has Harrison Ford. But yeah, the TV show had the same premise, right? So how much was that stretched out?
Pretty From what I mean, it was one of those shows that was a rare, because from, and by the way, any classic TV historians out there, I'm only so knowledgeable on that, so bear with me. It was one of the rare shows that actually had a fully fleshed out final episodes of the time period it was made, in which he found the killer at the end of the series. So it was one of the rare series that actually had an official final episode.
Well, that's good, because the movie is good. The movie's also really long. It's like nearly 3 hours, I think. my favorite thing, and it's one of those kind of meta jokes, is Scrubs kind of parries it, because the one-armed man, I believe, no, the cop, is actually the janitor from Scrubs. So they pay up that fact in one of the episodes when JD was like, you know, I thought you would have been somebody special, and then he like does the line from the Stop Kimbo from the movie, so that's kind of cute. But yeah, Fugitive. It also had a spinoff movie, U.S. Marshal, with Tommy Lee Jones. I assume you all saw that as well.
I'll admit it. I've never seen The Fugitive or U.S. Marshals. So
you've never seen The Fugitive?
Never seen The Fugitive.
Ah.
Well, I know. I fully cop to it. I've never seen it, and I've been told I really do need to see it. So
it's a very good movie. I mean, Harrison Ford had a streak where he was unstoppable, which is about 20 years.
I'm always impressed by Harrison Ford. He had that period where he was just on fire for
a long time, and then he did Firewall, and I hated him forever and ever.
Like the other movies, it's like the sitcom. I mean, like the sitcoms of. No, we are not going to dive into Brady Bunch in the White House in this, but since that wasn't actually, it was a movie, but it was a TV movie, and it only aired on UPN. So
the Brady Bunch had a movie.
No. The Brady Bunch, they had a third movie they released on UPN.
Oh, okay, but
the Brady Bunch had a. But the Brady Bunch had, like, it's actually the weird part about the Brady Bunch is the first movie's actually fun. It is a lot of fun. Because Ann B. Davis pops up in it, and,
First one's kind of like a knock on the series. It's kind of like a parody type.
And they fun. I mean, Sherwood Schwartz executive produced the movie. And he was having a ball at how much fun this film was having with that sitcom, because he knew he wasn't making like Shakespeare. He just knew, I'm making a little family sitcom, okay. And he said, have at. and they were more than happy to go, okay, go for it.
Yeah, so...
So for Brady Beatty's sequel, that's the weirdest one. That's the second film is very weird because they knock on the series, but they're also trying to shove in every single little weird thing of the series. And for some odd reason, at the end, they decide to have Mike Brady being secretly married to Jeannie from I Dream of Jeannie.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, I...
It's like, the second movie's a cluster, and still fun, but a cluster. And the first movie is just a very strong, fun film, and the second movie's like, still fun, but stuff, here's stuff, there's stuff, everywhere the stuff.
I think, you know, we see this a lot of times in sequels, is that people don't necessarily know what made something successful, so they try to home in on that one element where they think is the reason that people enjoyed it, and it sometimes kind of comes off weird, I guess?
It is. It's very, like, the Brady Bunch movie is tongue firmly placed in cheek, and they're having fun with it. The second movie is more, okay, yeah, stuff, okay.
Yeah, so, the Brady Bunch, sadly enough, a lot of the other ones in that period were, like, cartoons, so stuff like the Flintstones and, stuff. I guess Casper wouldn't count.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Though Casper's a weird movie in its own right. It's not terrible, but whenever we do the animated two, we'll dive into that more. But, yeah, it's weird.
Okay, I at this point I'm just jumping around this, but there's probably one I should talk about before people
go for it.
Kill me. Serenity, which was the Firefly film.
I love Serenity.
I don't like Firefly, but moving on.
Uh-oh.
You move on from that.
Uh-oh. Suddenly the commentometers, the typewriters are on the ready. The hands are on the keyboards. The hands are on the keyboards, Earl.
I got no beef with it. I've just tried to watch it.
I got no beef with it.
I tried to watch it 3 times, and I just can't get into it. I think I've made it to, like, 3 episodes at most, so. And it's only a 13 episode show, I think. But yeah. So what did you think of Serenity?
I never saw Serenity, so I don't really have an opinion on Serenity, which way or that. I've not really seen a lot of Firefly. Like, what I have seen, I've seen, but I've not really seen, I haven't watched the entire show yet.
Yeah.
So I don't really have an opinion this way or that.
So you're in the same boat as I am, even though it's a 13 episode series.
It's like I don't have a hatred. It's one of those things where and I'm excusing this for like a small, but it's something like where people, when you say you haven't seen a certain series, and I know I gave you a little bit of you haven't seen a certain thing earlier, but you know it's not that. But it's like when you haven't seen a certain series, sometimes you haven't seen a certain series either because you just haven't gotten to it yet, or there's only so much time in the day, or. It's just like, how have you not seen that yet?
By the law of averages, a lot of people haven't seen Firefly or it would still be on TV.
It's like one of the things, like, if you would have watched Firefly back in it, I mean, if more people would have watched Firefly back in the day, then you'd probably have a series that would have lasted a couple seasons, but, you know.
At least Fox was wise enough to bring back 24.
That's going to be... Yeah, it's like, well, we canceled Ted, take Kiefer, you want to do another round of 24? Okay. There you go, Kiefer. Well done.
But, Serenity. This is one that counts, but it's really odd, because it could go either way. I mean, it's not an animated series, it's just really odd to count. Power Rangers, the movie.
Oh, yes.
I love Power Rangers, the movie. I actually have the entire box set of the full series.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm a huge Power Rangers fan.
As am I.
And I recognize how awful it is, but I think that's part of its charm.
Power Rangers is fun. The Power Rangers movie, it's fun.
The first Power Rangers movie.
It's fun. It is.
Turbo is awful.
I've only seen just enough of Turbo. Like, I think I've seen maybe 10 minutes of it, man, that was bad.
Turbo has some really odd choices, like turning Zach and Kimberly evil.
It's awful. It's awful. It's awful.
Yeah. And the sad thing is Turbo's the one that counts.
It is. Yeah.
Like, Power Rangers the movie is the TV series with a tiny bit more of a budget and doesn't count towards anything in the actual TV series.
Yeah, but Turbo is the start of Turbo.
Yeah.
So it counts toward, it's pretty much the season premiere.
But the budget, oh my god, that movie had no budget.
On a TV budget.
Wow. I mean, because that had no budget at all. Just from that little bit I saw, I went, this movie has no budget. Wow.
Yeah, so Power Rangers the movie. Let's see, is there anything? I mean, there are other films on this.
There's the Addams Family's film.
Yeah, I just wanted to.
Those are fun. Raul Julia is really good as Gomez. He embraces Gomez and just has fun with Gomez. That is just so cool to watch.
And what's his name? Not Christopher. Is it Christopher Lloyd?
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd as Fester.
Yeah.
He has a ball with Fester. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, and this is one that most people might not realize is actually from a TV series, but the Naked Gun series is actually from the short-lived Police Squad.
Oh, I didn't know that it was based on a TV show.
And I actually, one of my friends got the Police Squad DVD set and had me watch, and you know what was weird about that? The series is only six episodes? Yeah, like six. Holy crap, I actually remembered. I'm amazed. But six episodes, and they're fun. They have a higher budget than most shows of that period, because they came out like in the 80s, and a Police Squad actually looks like a show that has, it actually has like a movie quality budget. So it transferred very well to the Naked Gun series, which the Naked Gun series was 10 times more a success and pretty much had all the same concept of Police Squad, just with Naked Gun. And it's fun. I mean, yeah, if you guys are fans of the Naked Gun films, check out Police Squad. It's out on DVD. Six episodes. It's fun.
Naked Gun.
Have you never seen Naked Gun?
I love Naked Gun. Yeah,
yeah, okay. Check out Police Squad then, Trent. I think you dig it. It's very, if you like Naked Gun style humor, you will have a blast of Police Squad.
Okay.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, those are the major ones. I'm just going to run through the...
Well, there's... Okay, no, let me...
Well, no, I have a list that I'm just going to run
through. I know we've got our... Oh my... Oh god, yeah, I'm finding all this weird stuff no one's ever heard of.
Yeah, okay, I'm just looking at this. We have Bewitched. Has Will Ferrell in it, I believe.
I've only seen, like, maybe half an hour of that film. I've heard it's not too bad, though. The little bits I saw wasn't too terrible.
I don't know if that's a compliment or not.
It wasn't too bad. I mean,
it wasn't too terrible. It could have been worse.
I mean, oh, Lord. I thought when I saw the Beverly Hillbillies on this list, I went, oh, man, that movie was terrible.
It was pretty bad.
It was bad. I felt bad for Jim Varney. I mean, I felt bad for everyone in that film. I know they got paid, but I don't care. That was bad. Rest in peace, Jim Varney. You deserved better.
Herbie Floated.
Oh, boy.
That was when Lindsay Lohan had stock to give.
And that finished
really quickly.
I watched, like, not much of that at all, and I'm glad I only watched just a little of that film.
So yeah, there's that. what else do we have here? Dukes of Hazzard, which I actually kind of enjoyed, but it's not one of those shows that you really wanted to resurrect.
All right, them Dookie boys are on the run again. What shenanigans are they going to be up to this week?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I nailed the announcer. Oh, I got the announcer voice. Damn, well, awesome. Go me.
But, yeah, that's a weird one. This is based on it, and I just put it because it fits the criteria. I've never seen it. I hope none of you have. The Hannah Montana movie.
You watched it, didn't you?
No, I've never seen. I've never seen it.
Okay, I was wondering. It's like
I just
on your.
No, it's not on our. Our list is mostly comprised of films that people suggest to us, so nobody's that evil yet. But you know, Hannah Montana, the struggles of a girl who has to double as a pop star.
I've not seen the full movie, but I just happened to catch like 5 minutes of it, and that's all I could handle. Like, I'm good. No. I'm good.
Yeah.
Oh God, Lost in Space.
I've never seen that.
Have you ever seen that? The TV series itself is an oddity of the fact that it kind of starts out as a serious sci-fi series, and then thanks to the wonders of color and Batman and the Batman animated series the Adam West Batman kicking his butt in ratings, they decided, let's go campy. And then Lost in Space fought giant vegetables. And the movie is strange. The movie is not too terrible.
Not much of a compliment.
it's not really meant to be a compliment. That movie's not that great. It's just Matt LeBlanc in his period where they were trying to see if they can make him a movie star, and Lacey Chabert when they were trying to see if they could get her to be a bigger movie star. I don't recommend watching Lost in Space, guys. Just don't. Not worth it.
That's okay, because I don't plan on watching it anyway.
Terrible. Not a good film.
Sex and the City had two films.
Yes, it did.
Fun fact, I've seen both.
I don't think there's anything fun about that.
Between two girlfriends, I've actually seen the entire series and then the movies. And I can say in all honesty that I think the first movie is actually kind of decent within the context of the series, but I think the second one kind of blows the devil's ass.
I've heard the second one is just unwatchable.
It's such a carry, right?
It's pretty awful.
Stargate. There are a couple of films for that.
The movie came out first, then they did the TV series. So
didn't they do movies after the TV series?
They did movies after the TV series. I mean, they're both direct to video, though. I mean, they do technically count, don't they?
I think it was Stargate that my friend made me watch, and he was such a, he made me watch a movie, and he didn't tell me that it was like a continuation of a plot line from like the TV show.
Oh, okay.
So I'm watching this, and it assumes that you know these characters and their situations.
Cool.
I'm like, I've never heard of these people.
That's
before.
Not cool. You just got thrown into the damn Stargate, deep end. Like
I was telling him that I've never kind of hidden from this, and I don't like sci-fi.
Oh my God.
And he was trying to find sci-fi for me to watch. And I'm like, I don't know what my beef with sci-fi is, but for the most part, most sci-fi just doesn't interest me.
Oh my God. Trent, I am sorry. It's really funny that you're on this one, that you're on this, because the Red Green Show had a movie.
Yeah, I know. Duct Tape Forever.
Duct Tape Forever. That's right. I've seen it. I have seen it. They aired it on PBS.
What is the Red Green Show?
The Red Green Show was a staple of Canadian programming. The ongoing joke of that show. I mean, like the context is. It's from like an it's about a bunch of hosers. This is gonna sound so Canadian when you people hear me.
Yeah, awesome, you already started off with
that's
you
why hosers. I brought it up, Trent. Go for it.
There's this guy named Red, and there's another guy whose last name is Green, and Red is kind of an awesome but very coarse old guy. Whereas Green is kind of a dorky, he's like the Urkel of Canada. He's like a white little Urkel. It's kind of meta in the sense that they have a show, but they operate outside the show. Like, it's like they have Tool Time and then there's Home Improvement. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the Home Improvement part is just kind of like different clips of different characters from the community that they're from. And the ongoing joke that a lot of people like to make is that the best way to solve a problem is by using a lot of duct tape. So I want to fix my truck, but while I'm fixing my truck, I want to make it a little bit more hospitable. So instead of, you know, just like buying a whole bunch of pieces of plastic and kind of screwing them in and making it look all nice, I'm just going to duct tape like a mini fridge and a microwave and a whole bunch of crap inside of my truck. And then I'm going to duct tape the door shut so it looks like it works. And then they try and use it. So, like, for instance, like, you'll see the truck driving around while a guy is trying to cook wieners in the back, and something explodes and the duct tape fails. And I mean, it really is fun. It sounds really Canadian, I'm sure.
But it's so gloriously Canadian.
Yeah, no, but
I used to watch the show, so I know exactly what you're talking.
I mean, I think it's great personally.
I love it. It's fun. I used to watch the hell out of it.
It's one of these things like Canadians we understand what the world thinks of us, which is totally stupid, by the way. Canadians are exactly like Americans in pretty much every way, except we're not as fat and we have better gun control.
You're not wrong on that one.
However, we acknowledge the fact that there is a stereotype of us always saying a boot and and hanging out with beavers and drinking lots of maple sauce and just wearing lumberjack outfits and playing hockey and going curling and swimming in canoes. I mean, we acknowledge all the stereotypes and this is a way of making fun of ourselves.
Trent, I hate to admit it. Yeah, I kind of wanted to see what you would do if I mentioned the Red Green Show.
That said, the Red Green Show is a great show, and the movie Duct Tape Forever is just god awful.
The Duct Tape Forever movie is not great because they showed it on PBS once here, and I'm like, this isn't as good as TV series. Because
no.
TV series was fun. I mean, my cousins and I all used to watch it when we were younger. And, like, if any of us were, like, over at the house, it'd be like, oh, Red Green Show's on. Like, ding, watching TV. So.
Yeah, I've never even heard of the show before tonight. I don't even know how you watched it, but see.
It's fun.
It's great.
It's great. What?
I meant more like, how did you watch it?
It was on PBS. I mean, it was it was a staple on PBS.
So this is after Sesame Street somewhere.
Well, it's like on, and let's go into a PBS Wonderland here of like because basically a quick minor thing here, just quick. Pretty much, it's PBS is where a lot of like the British comedies and Red Green Show and stuff like that. Like, I wouldn't have watched half the stuff I would have watched wasn't for PBS back in the 90s. So that's how I saw Keeping Up Appearances and Are You Being Served and all that stuff. So, yeah, PBS was like a TV, like, oasis in the 90s.
Okay. And I guess we could, I guess you folks have anything else.
Well, I'm just going to see if there's anything else relating.
Well, I wanted to
mention Oh, Lord, Mr. Magoo. No. No. That movie. No. Mystery Science Theater. Oh, actually, Mystery Science 3000 movie's really fun. cool. I can actually, Mr. Anthony 3000, the movie, was a lot of fun.
I like the show in general.
Yeah, I like them as T3K. Fun fact. This is actually, we're going to take a full circle here. Take a full circle to David Letterman was interviewing Benedict Cumberbatch about the Star Trek film. And what was hilarious was David Letterman showed a clip and it wasn't the Star Trek clip. It was the Prince of Space.
Nice.
And I went, yes. And this T3K reference. I thought that was too cool.
It's a great series.
I love them as T3K. That's fun. I used to watch it. When they got the Sci-Fi Channel, because we never had Comedy Central when I was a kid. So when it was in its heyday on Comedy Central. So when Sci-Fi Channel finally got to my area, that's when I got to watch MST3K like on a regular basis. Because the first time I saw MST3K was at one of my aunt's houses in Tennessee when I was a kid.
Okay, so like I said, the final one is the X-Files films. Another series I need to get into one day.
I've never seen the X-Files. I've seen an episode of the X-Files. I have seen an episode, but I've never actually seen like a full series.
So, but yeah, I guess that wasn't the best one to end on.
At least we didn't, and there's others we could get into. I mean, like, Inspector Gadget.
Yes, the cartoon series.
Oh, that's right. Or the Honeymooners. No.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention the Honeymooners. But
do we really want to dive the Honeymooners too far?
No,
I mean,
no. That was on my list, but I completely forgot about it.
Probably a smart move. Oh, that's right. There was Dragnet movie. The 1987 movie with Tom Hanks and Dan Aykroyd. Yep, Tom Hanks, Dan Aykroyd back in 1987. In which Dan Aykroyd plays the serious cop and Tom Hanks plays the new kid on the squad, his new partner on the squad.
Yay.
Yeah, Dragnet's actually not too bad.
Okay.
Not too bad.
So yeah, we can begin to wrap. Well, first we're going to
In the Danger Zone. Pretty soon they'll be off on a mission.
Hydrofoil mode, Rhodey.
Hydrofoil engaged, Dan.
I'm still working on the formatting. I'm also, like I said, we moved Batman Versus to the podcast. We're also going to move Pole Position because I feel it's just easy to talk about poles on instead of writing about them because there's really not much to write about. Last week's poll was about the Tetris theme songs.
Ooh.
For anybody who's played Tetris,
you know.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, so
dun,
there's
dun, dun.
I mean, the ones that most people tend to go with is Tetris theme A or B. There's also a C, and C is kind of like that special one that nobody talks about, really. You just like to be nice to it. based on the votes, it was actually a tie between A and B, with C getting one vote, so it's pretty much down the middle. I remember in college, one of my friends, this was, you know, like really at the start of YouTube where finding stuff was difficult or whatever, and one of my friends was like, you know, you need to find me like the Tetris B theme and whatever. And this is also around the start of Facebook. So I posted it on his wall, and he got so upset at me. He's like, do you not want me to ever get laid? What if a girl sees this? I'm like, you asked me for it. This is the fastest way to contact you. So, here's your Tetris music. I still make fun of him for that to this day.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. What about you, Trent? What is your Tetris theme?
Mine is Theme B.
Theme B. Okay.
Which one is Theme B? Which one is the Theme B again?
I think it's the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah, I would always say, I'm trying to remember because like usually end up being theme A because that's the one I think I just default played under so often and I heard so many times, so it's like theme A is like the one that's permanently like burned into my brain.
I mean, you can pick between the two of them at the start of the game, I believe.
Yeah, I I think it's like, but Theme A, yeah, Theme A is like the one that I always get a kick out of, and it's what brings back the most memories of Tetris to me.
Yeah. What's also kind of funny is that Nintendo did remakes of these, and they are really good remake for Smash Brothers. So you have Tetris hasn't really have there's no Tetris representation, but you get both Theme A and Theme B in the Smash Brothers Brawl, which is a nice little nod. And B is very epic in the game. It has like an orchestra to it. So yeah, that was last week's poll. This week's poll, which is still going on and you can vote on until, I believe, Saturday. So the day after this comes out is for Star Trek, your favorite Star Trek series. And as of this recording, The Next Generation is winning handily against Deep Space Nine in second, and then the original series Enterprise tied for third, and Paranoia for Voyager.
Not shocked about that one.
Bitch.
Ain't no love in the heart of the city.
Heart of city.
Don't kill me! Don't kill me, man!
I'm not going to kill you. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
This is on me. We were supposed to do Batman Versus, and we actually got recommendations last week, but they were sent to my Twitter, and I never save anything on Twitter.
Oh. Okay, what were the recommendations?
I don't remember. that's what I'm saying, is like, I don't remember, because a lot of these came in through work, and I don't favorite stuff on Twitter. It's a terrible habit, and I don't want to retweet it. So, because I asked the day of, hoping that we would have recorded last week, and since Trent picked the last time, Wesley, do you want to pick an opponent for Batman?
Pick a shopping cart.
Batman versus... Let's see. So, basically, I can just pit Batman against anything?
Yes.
So... Oh, God. Batman versus the Blob.
Wait,
as in the Marvel Comics Blob.
Okay, I was gonna say, I didn't know if you meant the video game character or...
No, we're just gonna be sensible here and put Batman versus the Marvel Comics Blob.
Okay.
Let's try it.
His power is that he absorbs damage?
Yeah.
Huh, so I assume that Batman would not do a full frontal attack.
Wouldn't be smart.
No, if anything,
nope.
I would...
can move the Blob!
I imagine that instead of actually combating him, he'll find some way to kind of knock him out.
Yeah.
So, some form of knockout gas, or, you know, something that he doesn't necessarily have to physically attack him, but will, you know, incapacitate him. So I'm going with knockout gas, because he does keep that in his utility belt.
That would make sense, because Blob would pretty much have to do the whole, like, the knockout gas, because that's the only, because the Blob, there's only so many ways you can deal with the Blob. Because I don't think he got his powers back in the midst of the aftermath of the whole House of End, of the whole mutant getting their powers back thing, so... yeah.
Trent?
See, I don't know, because I feel like the trouble with fighting the Blob is that, like, don't things kind of get absorbed into his fat?
Correct.
So, I feel like anything that because Batman is big into projectiles, right? I feel like he couldn't use a lot of his arsenal, and his ninja skills would be kind of useless. He'd have to lure the Blob into a trap.
Well, like I said, that's why I think he would use, like, knockout gas, because he wouldn't be able to absorb that. It's not physically touching him.
Yeah, but I also feel like, just like a charging rhino, you would need a lot of tranquilizer to take him down. I'm not sure your standard knockout gas would just...
Well, I mean, I don't know if Batman carries standard knockout gas. I mean, he does fight people like Killer Croc and Bane.
Most of the time he's just fighting thugs, though.
Well, I mean, but after a while, you have to imagine that between thugs and some of these super villains, and...
He gets prepared.
Yeah, he gets prepared. And I assume, if anything, he might also... If he wants to do a direct confrontation, he might use those charged electrical gauntlets that he wears so often.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I don't know. He would have to use his cunning to lure him into a trap. That's the only way I could go forward with it. And the trap would have to be like, I don't know, cryogenic freezing or some shit like that.
Well, I was frozen today. Set up your trap. Tell us how it works.
Okay, so Batman is standing over top a giant tub of cryogenic fluid with a tarp over it. And he says, bring it on, Bubba. And the blob just starts running at him slowly because he is a blob. And then he falls face first into the cryogenic fluid and freezes. That's the only way I could imagine that. Right, Wesley?
That's awesome.
See, like, I would fight it more if he was, like, if he didn't lead him into the trap, but he kind of forced him into it. Like, maybe he, like, put his cape over him and tries to, like, force him to...
A raging bull, yeah.
Yeah. Something instead of having the blob be like an idiot who's just charging a guy who's standing over a vat of cryogenic liquid.
That's awesome.
I don't know which one makes more sense, but yes, either way, Batman comes out on top.
Either way, just wait till the day someone decides to pull out Batman versus Squirrel Girl. Because Squirrel Girl also has that reputation in the Marvel Universe of being able to beat anyone. With her squirrels.
So yeah, I think that will do it for us this week. Check out the website. We have a ton of interesting stuff. I don't actually think Trent posted his article as of this typing, this post, this recording. Speaking of, Trent actually wrote a book called In Stitches. I know it's available on Amazon. Is it available in American bookstores, or is that OU Canada right now?
Only in Kohl's and Indigo up here.
I don't even know what that is.
It's not on the Amazon American website. I know that much.
I know you can get the digital copy.
No, you can get the paper copy on the Amazon website, Amazon.com. Both the Kindle and the paper copy are there.
Oh, is it? I didn't see it before.
Yeah, I actually just looked it up now, and it's not on there.
No, it's there now. Paperback, $6.99.
Okay.
And Kindle edition, $3.99.
Stop misinforming people, Wesley. God.
Hang on. Has son of a gun. It's, yep, found it now. I had to dial in your name.
Yeah, that's what I do, too.
It didn't come up when I actually dialed it. I was like, cool, okay.
And the cool thing about this is that outside of the fact that you can get it for free if you're an Amazon Prime member, there's no DRM. So if you get the Kindle, you can share it with your friends, and it's not really an issue. So pass it around.
Yeah, I love your about the author for this book, dude. I love your about the author. That's awesome.
Yes.
Did you actually get the book?
I actually did not know. I actually was looking up the book before, and I could not find it initially. Now that I looked up your name and I couldn't get it to come up. So now that it's up there
on the site directly below the about the author. Yeah. It's hard to write these things, but I did manage to squeeze out a few words about myself.
Yay!
I love.
And now I will. I will order it now that I actually have found it on Amazon, which makes me very happy.
Yes, so check that out. Don't check out iSmash or whatever. Trent was making up a bunch of fictional bookstores, I imagine, with these funky names.
Actually, hold off until tomorrow.
but as for that, you can check out... Honestly, I don't even know what I'm writing on the site anymore. A quirk drains me, and I can't finish everything. Oh, I should have a piece up on the Sonic and Mega Man crossover series in comic books, which is amazing right now. And ironically, the main reason I've been going to my comic book shop the last 2 or 3 weeks, which makes it all the more impressive, the fact that Sega nor Capcom could do anything with these two characters at the moment.
That is funny to think about, isn't it? That.
But yes, this is kind of what... this is kind of what you expect from a crossover. It's fun, it's light, it's breezy, it's for everybody, which I think is a big issue with comic books these days, is that they do cater to a very specialized niche, and this kind of caters to anybody who wants to read it. And from what I've seen, it's been paying off. I've seen kids, which I don't see often outside of Free Comic Book Day, inside the store, picking this up. It's a fun series. I really recommend it after reading the first four issues. I have issue 5 in my bag, which I'm going to read as soon as the show's finished recording. So check that out. Check out the other podcast, Dual Worlds, every Monday. We're doing a Man of Superman retrospective on the site with the Man of Steel cast. We've done Superman 2 this week. That just went up.
Cool.
But as of this post, I mean, as of this recording. The Twitter handles are all on the show notes, but you can find Trent at InstaTrent. Where's he at? Whatever his name is this week.
Hang on, I haven't changed my name in a while.
It's like 2 months.
I have been good. I'm not changing it anytime soon. It's Captain C-A-P-T Comic Addict. C-O-M, yeah, Captain Comic Addict. And
I was going to say, since I've known Wesley, I think you've had 4 names.
Okay, I have been actually pretty bad for a while. I am Comic Addict. Then it became I Am Wesley Matt, and then it became Geek Who Landed because someone suggested I should do it for SEO reasons. Then I kind of got sick of the Geek Who Landed, so I did I Am Wesley Messer. Then I went to Captain Comic Addict for purposes of another podcast I'm working on, and I stuck with Captain Comic Addict because everyone really seemed to like Captain Comic Addict. Everyone that saw that name went, thank God, good, we like that name. I'm like, okay, keeping this one.
Okay, so yeah. And you can find me at GT_NOTR. At this point, I'm thinking of changing it because, while it makes sense for the end, the first part doesn't make sense anymore. I think I still hang out at the forum.
What is with the GT?
The GT is named after the forum that actually sprung this podcast. GT is the name of Game Tavern, which is the forum was pretty much my first quote-unquote internet home, and it was, we kind of came up with the idea of doing a podcast from, the people who were members of the forum, and as most things go, people are great with coming up with an idea, nobody wants to execute it, so over time, I took more and more control of it, and then I created the site and everything else outside of it, so the original idea behind the Twitter account, which we could probably explain off the show. So let me just wrap first for Trent, Wesley, and myself. This has been Nerds on the Rocks, episode 132.
Hey, wait a minute. You don't mean this, right? Just kidding. I know what's a joke. I'm laughing, right? You're losing your head. I'm losing my head.
Say what they wanna say, live how they wanna live, play how they wanna play, dance how they wanna dance, think if they celebrate. Adam Family. They do what they wanna do, say what they wanna say, live how they wanna live, play how they wanna play, dance how they wanna dance, think if they celebrate. Adam Family.
Now I was cool, and you know, just kicking it around the house. What a knock, and a voice, yo, can handle come out. Now I don't mind being a friend and showing a little bit of flavor. But Wednesday, Bugsley, Gomez, Fester, man, them some strange neighbors.
They do what they wanna do, say what they wanna say, live how they wanna live, play how they wanna play, dance how they wanna dance, think if they celebrate. Adam Family. They do what they wanna do, say what they wanna say, live how they wanna live, play how they wanna play, dance how they wanna dance, think if they celebrate. Adam Family.
I remember the day I needed to ball a little bit of pepper. The next thing you know, coming at me was a hand with the fingers I stepped in. Now I tried to play it on off and act like I'm having a ball. But what do I see? A perm with feet standing about 3 feet tall.
They do what they wanna do, say what they wanna say, live how they wanna live, play how they wanna play, dance how they wanna dance, think if they stop a friend. They do what they wanna do, say what they wanna say, live how they wanna live, play how they wanna play, dance how they wanna dance, think if they stop a friend.
Thinking about the Adams, you know the hammer is with it. Act a fool, no balls, Swoop, Goofy, and Randy, you know we kick it. Now it's the time to get it in your mind. It's okay to be yourself.
Be yourself.
Take foolish pride and put it aside like the Adams. Yo, they did.
That's a family.
They do what they wanna do, say what they wanna say, live how they wanna.
telling you, I saw the hand. Family. Thing, man.
I do what they wanna do, say what they wanna say, live how they wanna live, play how they wanna play, dance how they wanna dance, kick and they stop a prayer.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor. I need you to go back to the bridge just then. Thank you, thank you. Now check this out.
They do what they wanna do, say what they wanna say, live how they wanna live, play how they wanna play, dance how they wanna dance, kick and they stop a prayer. They do what they wanna do, say what they wanna say, live how they wanna live, play how they wanna play, dance how they wanna dance, kick and they stop a prayer.
Cause he got on the floor, and he got the wiggling and wobbling, and he did this whole new burn move he had. Everybody backed up, you know what I'm saying? He backed them up. Speaking and thinking about the Adams family. They don't hurt anyone. They just like to have fun.